This is the Aflac Insurance Syracuse Legend Show, talking to the biggest names in SU sports history, broadcasting in the ESPN studios and presented by SummitCars.com. Here's your host, Mike Bristol.
All right, we are on it. My good friend Alan Griffin on the program. Alan, what's going on?
What's going on, Mike?
So it's good to kick things right off with you right off the bat. A guy that I enjoy talking with and talking basketball with, a fellow father, a terrific father and terrific guy. So, Alan, I want to get right to it. Let's go. Duke, what a game.
Yeah, you know, I was on Tuesday after the game, and the one thing I said and the one thing I can remember about the Duke game now, obviously moving on to a really good Pittsburgh team, was how well our guys executed the game plan. One thing, coach came in there with a plan. The guys kind of, you know, to being like a, you know, 48-hour turnaround for the game, less than 48-hour turnaround for the game, for our guys to execute the game plan the way they did, it was great.
When you look at the game plan and what coach put together, and obviously what can happen when guys do that and guys shoot well and follow, chat a little bit of what coach said pregame and before and kind of go through that for us. As a coach, you know, like what he was saying to the guys and what the plan was.
You know, one thing is that, you know, coach has been stressing, you know, this since, you know, us coming back from New York. We need to get back to playing Syracuse basketball, and that's what, you know, a faster pace offensively, defensively, making sure that, you know, we make teams feel uncomfortable, especially shooting from the perimeter. So that was one of the things that coach echoed, you know, the whole time down at Duke, but also to, you know, no one gave us a chance of going in there and playing and for us to, you know, see us play as well as we did. Not only just playing that well, but also winning that game. So, you know, that was the one thing that, you know, coach kind of echoed to the team is like, you know, just go out there, play as hard as you can. And you know what? I don't care about anything else. If the ball don't go in the basket, just don't go in the basket. It's just not our day for the ball to go in the basket. And, you know, it just so happened that the ball went in the basket and gave us the opportunity to hang it in there and taking control to it later stages in that game and winning.
You pull out such an incredible win. The one thing I didn't like is I listen, obviously, post-game, and you've got Coach K who says, makes kind of a comment as along the lines of, oh, you know, missing two, whatever, and more or less like, okay, we're missing a couple guys, so that's why we lost this game. I thought that, I mean, and I know Coach and Coach K are buddies and all that kind of stuff, but it's just, it's one of those things that you just wish that he just, you know, said, hey, it was a great game, and we competed hard, but even like, it just drives me crazy, some of those side comments.
Yeah, I mean, that's just coaching. That's a competitive, you know, thing, obviously, probably amongst the two. They probably don't like losing to one another. So I know we don't like losing to Duke. I know Coach don't like it. So
no. Losing anybody.
So I can that is true. Part of it, to be honest with you, Mike, is true. You know, they you know, Tyus Jones left with it, you know, after 5 minutes in the game, and then they didn't have Cam Reddish, who was a really good player. So again, you know, at the end of the day, our guys still executed the game plan. Whether Cam and those guys were there, what they weren't there, they still had a really good team and two really good players in Zion and Barrett. With Alex O'Connell coming in and scoring 16 points, so he made up for some of the difference. So again, you know, we're just happy that we were able to go play as well as we did, and you know, obviously come out victorious.
I see how hard you work with the big guys. I see how coach is all over the big guys, and let's talk about it. Chuko, and I mean, they stepped up. I mean, talk about some of those huge plays and grabbing boards and putbacks. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'm at practice and watching you, you know, with the alley-oop stuff and rebounding and keeping the ball above and not bringing it down low so a guard can strip it and take it from you. Talk about those guys finally listening.
You know, kudos to Pascal. I mean, he's had a rough start to this year. Just not playing as well as I think he want to play and as well as we need him to play. And down at Duke, you know, like he said in some of his press conference stuff, he basically said, you know, he came ready to play, you know. And he definitely came ready to play, you know, getting like 19 rebounds and 10 points, 19 rebounds, which probably was one of his best games here.
Yeah.
You know, he's just been battling. The one thing I could say about Pascal is that he didn't hold his head down.
No.
He came to work every day. And you know what? His hard work paid off that night. Sidibe, you know, he didn't get that much of an opportunity in the game, but when he did get in the game, he had a couple of calls go against him, which were a couple of questionable calls. But, you know, he gave us his all. He played as hard as he could, and both of their contributions really – you know, help towards the win.
You know, I was talking with Coach, and I remember, I think it was last summer, and I'm talking about, you know, with him with the Olympics and coaching pros, and said, hey, listen, you tell a guy one time, and I've brought this up multiple times, but you tell Kobe Bryant or whomever it was, hey, you know, I just noticed this one small thing, or whatever it was. It's corrected instantly. Right. You know, and then right. You think, like, what you're doing, I think you and I talked to you about this, like with right. Chukwu, like, you go over and over and over, but then when it clicks... So this could be one of those things where you see this in Duke, like, wow, is this going to be for the rest of the season? Like, is he really? And I have seen too, like, guys get in his face and this, that, you can get frustrated, but you're right. He's resilient, keeps coming back and saying, you know what, I'm going to get better and better and better, and he's doing it.
Right. I mean, if you remember last year, you know, early on, he had his issues in terms of, you know, not doing the things that he was supposed to, or not doing as much as he's supposed to in order for this team to win. And then when we went on our run last year, when we started to play well, you know, it was now, you know, conference. Yeah, he played very well in conference. So hopefully that's the case, again, because he's had a couple of really good practices here. And, you know, hopefully it just continue to translate to the games. And because when we got Pascal playing the way he has, when he played Monday, we're a different team, and it's obvious.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
even like yeah. it's obvious. So we just hope that we can kind of get that same Pascal, and obviously just get some more contributions from Sidibe. And I mean, again, when those two guys are playing well, we're a different team, especially defensively. Our zone is unbelievable when those guys are playing well.
Oh, tell me about it. The atmosphere at Cameron, tell me about it. I mean, there's nothing like the atmosphere in the Cary Dome. I don't care what anybody says. I've been all over the place. I've seen it all. But tell me about the Cameron atmosphere, if you can.
Yeah, it's a really good atmosphere. It's a very small, intimate atmosphere. It's totally different. It's 100% different than what we're accustomed to playing here at home. It can be really intimidated at sometimes because they do a phenomenal job of you know, the student section with their chants and, you know, waving their arms when the kids come over there in that section, the side out of bounds section in front of the media. So it's a really good venue for college basketball. And I'm just so happy. You know, this is my second year going down there. I never played there. I never visited there as a coach. No other place until I got back to Syracuse. So it's a cool spot.
You know, when you played, let's talk about the Big East visiting atmosphere was, you know, it's always interesting in those different settings and stuff. But I feel like they were more disrespectful when you played those days. I just felt like, man, it was basketball was more gritty.
Yeah, you know what? It's a lot more gritty from a fan's perspective. I think it's a lot more disrespectful now because of social media.
Oh, yeah.
With social media now, you know, guys are, you know, tweeting at the kids and Instagramming.
Yeah, hide behind all that and say what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a lot more grimy here at this, you know, nowadays than back when I played. But, you know, when you went to opposing arenas, I mean, fans are fans. That's why they're fans, you know.
Yeah.
And,
some
of them, and I don't want to use the word disrespect because, I mean, it's like some people take it overboard, but the good fans, you know, they'll say some stuff and, you know, they're just trying to get you out of your game. You don't take it personally.
What was the best road win you've ever attained as a player and anything close to knocking off Duke? Number one, Duke.
Well, we went into the last time a Syracuse team went in and knocked a number one off. I was on that team. We went into UConn.
We
went into UConn and we won that game. So, yeah.
Look at you. You know? Look at you, Alan.
Huh? Yeah, bringing some luck, huh?
How much, I guess, of what's transpired against Duke over the years here attributed to the time I think Boeheim has spent with Coach K and USA Basketball, like that, like what those two have together?
You know, I think they got a very good friendship. I think from a basketball perspective, they both respect one another. So I think it's just a friendly, competitive, you know, deal between the two. You know, both of those guys, I mean, obviously, Coach probably was at USA Basketball, and they played 2-3 zone at some time. So, you know, Coach K might know a couple of the nuances in terms of the zone and how you, you know, how you prepare the zone for an opposing team. And you know, Coach being around K and kind of knowing some of his philosophies and coaching as long as they have coached against one another. I mean, these guys know each other. They watch each other's games on TV. So, again, it's just like a friendly competition. And, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Is there a specific number of ACC wins that you believe we need to reach the NCAA tournament here? What needs to happen?
I think we didn't have to win as many as we can, Mike. You know, like I can't even pinpoint. You know, I don't know how many games we got left. I can't even count them. But if we can win them all, I'm happy.
All right. Give me the Pitt breakdown game plan.
Oh, wow. You know, first thing we have to do is get back in transition. Pitt's a very good team in transition. They start guards, led by number two, McGoins. He's a terrific scorer, especially in the open court. And then in the half court, they're going to try to penetrate our zone and get in the gap. So we got our work cut out for us. The Pitt team, this is a really good Pitt team, and we just got to come ready to play.
All right, I love it. My good friend Alan Griffin on the program, and thanks, pal. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, no problem.
All right, Alan Griffin, ladies and gentlemen, here on the program, and we're going to take a break. We get back, Adrian Autry and Scoop Jardine popping on here. So this is a Syracuse Legends radio broadcast and presented by SummitCars.com, and it's brought to you by Aflac Insurance, 97.7 100.1.
This is the Aflac Insurance Syracuse Legend Show, talking to the biggest names in SU sports history, broadcasting in the ESPN studios and presented by SummitCars.com. Here's your host, Mike Bristol.
All right, here we are back on it, and our good friend Mr. Adrian Autry on the show. What's up, Brad?
What's going on, Mike? How are you doing this morning?
Love it. I'm doing good, and I wanted to get right to it here with you. Obviously, What a game. And all that you've coached and played at Cuse and seen the turnaround and Georgia Tech to what took place against Duke. Talk about Duke. Wow.
Well, I just thought the Duke game, you know, was always a tough game. You know, one of the best teams year in and year out in the country. I thought we did a really good job of bouncing back, you know, the circumstances of coming off a tough loss against Georgia Tech and then go down to Cameron and get a win. I think it really just, you know, talked about our focus and our being able to bounce back after a tough loss like that. I was just really proud of our team.
You know, you look at, you know, coach and putting together a game plan and then guys going out and executing that game plan and doing what they've got to do, especially the big guys, and I was talking a little bit about that, but what Pasquale doing was he was doing and grabbing boards and putbacks and anything around the rim, grabbing and not putting the ball down low to get stripped by the guards or whatever it was, you know, not bad fouls or being in the wrong place or actually being active around the boards. I mean, he just looked really good, and you're hoping, I think, that work that you guys have done with him continues on for the rest of the season.
Well, I mean, again, you know, at that game like that, you know, he's definitely going to get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Well, we think he can do that, you know, maybe not, you know, 18 rebounds, but we feel like he can make an impact around the rim for us on both sides of the floor. And, you know, we have other players surrounded to make the game a little easier for him. And I thought Frank Howard was really key to that. You know, since he's been back, you know, we've gotten more lob passes since Frank's been back. And I think that's a key component to helping the big guys out, getting them the ball in good situations.
You know, one point in the Duke game, did you sense that, you know, the upset? Yeah, of course, we call it upset because you got the number, you're playing number one team in the country. But, you know, was it the 75-foot shot that all of a sudden you're going to halftime and talk about that? Like, that's got to be like, okay, here we go. Momentum's in our favor. Then you come in, you go in overtime, you win the game. Just an incredible game. But did you really sense the whole time, like, wow, we're really playing. We are putting, everything's working.
Well, you know, I did say that. I mean, luck was on our side. Buddy hit a bank shot. Tyus hit a top
right.
three in the corner
right.
with the shot clock running down. Then Elijah hits that. You know, so, you know, you knew that they were focused and they were locked in and things were kind of going our way. But with Duke, they just have a spurt ability that you just never know when it's going to come.
Mm.
Even though they didn't have their point guard, you know, they still had, you know, arguably the first and second pick in a draft. They still have a lot of talent out there. So, you know, you just sit back and you just kind of watch how it goes. You never really get comfortable until a game is over with when you play against, you know, that type of talent.
You know, I look at, you know, what Frank did and you being a former, obviously, point guard running the show and et cetera. But, I mean, look what Frank really did. I mean, stepping up, running the offense, doing a great job, getting guys involved. He just played great.
Yeah, you know, that was the best game Frank's had, you know, since he's been back off of injury, and probably one of the best games, best halves, rather, that he's had, you know, in a Syracuse uniform. I thought he controlled the pace. I thought he, you know, made timely shots and big shots. I thought he got in the lane and got, you know, easy scoring opportunities for Pascal. So I just thought he really did a good job, and defensively he was phenomenal.
So talk about Tyus and the ability to score. Perimeter J, three, get into the basket, all-around game, put the ball on the floor, exceptional with the handle. I mean, he's just a great basketball player, all-around basketball IQ, et cetera.
You know, there's not a lot of people that can score the basketball like Tyus.
Yeah.
But he's starting to make plays. I think that's the biggest difference. He's starting to make plays for other people. And once he gets going, it's really hard to stop him. And, you know, there was a fast-paced game. And then transitioning to open court, I don't really think there's too many people that could stop him going downhill in the open court. So it was just one of those games where, you know, actually he's had the last four or five games, he's really been in a zone offensively. But yeah, you take away the Georgia Tech game, you know, he's been playing really at a high, efficient level. And Duke was a game where you just knew he was ready right from the beginning.
You look at, you know, when you played and you look at big wins and huge wins, all that kind of stuff. Tell me about the biggest win that you were part of at Syracuse.
I mean, obviously, you know, it was, you know, those two Final Four runs that we made in 2016 and the Sweet 16 run in the 2013 Final Four run. You know, those wins stick out just because we hit adversity. And, you know, at the end of the day, Mike, it's all about how you finish up the season and being able to get to a Final Four coming off adversity in all of those seasons since I've been here. You know, and even Sweet 16 last year, you know, with not, you know, having to play the first four in, all those wins stick out to me right now.
Yeah, look at all that stuff. Were you worried a little bit today against Pitt? Does the fact that, you know, they beat Florida State on Monday. Talk a little bit about Pitt game plan and going into that.
Well, Pitt's a good team. They play, you know, they're 2-2. A lot of people predicted them to be a little bit lower, but Coach Capel has done a phenomenal job with his team. You know, they get out and run. They push the ball. They got two electric guards. You know, if it wasn't for Cam Reddish and Zion and R.J. Barrett and Trey Jones, these two guys would be talked about in the ACC as, you know, rookie of the years. You know, they are really explosive guards that get downhill. They get to the free throw line a ton, and they get after it on the defensive end. They've drawn the most charges, you know, out of anybody in our conference.
Wow. Simple as it sounds, how much will it, you know, help to have some home games in front of allowed student sections here starting this week?
Well, I mean, again, you know, you have home games. We've lost early. You know, we went down and beat teams at home. You got to play, Mike. That's the bottom line. You know, home, you know, it's nice to be at home, but you still got to come and show up as you witnessed against Georgia Tech. You know, we didn't show up and we lost. So, you know, playing at home, we always love to play in front of our home crowd. It's exciting. We got great support and great fans, but, we still have to play the game.
All right, my good buddy, Mr. Adrian Autry. Thanks, Red. I appreciate it. Take a couple minutes here on the program.
Thank you, Mike. Take care.
All right, you too. Adrian Autry here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Syracuse Legends Show. Scoop Jardine on deck next. And, we're having some fun here, so we'll be right back. This is ESPN Radio 97.7 100.1 and broadcasting here. So it's a lot of fun. And like I said, Scoop, and I think we're going to get this is Scoop and, well, I think I'm going to wait. So we'll talk about that in a couple minutes here. So we'll be right back. ESPN Radio 97.7 100.1.
It's Syracuse Legends with Mike Bristol and Scoop Jardine.
Scoop, did you hear that? I had to play that. I just found that. That's old.
Oh, man. That was great, Mike. That was amazing.
Good stuff, right? How many years ago was that?
Man, good five.
Yeah, long time ago.
Probably six, matter of fact, 2013.
Was it? See, look, you got a good memory. So I didn't know that, but that's, yeah, right when you graduated, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And getting,
I came back. Remember, I got hurt, so I was back. And we
oh, that's
helped
right.
Me out. Yeah, you helped me out, man. We was running around.
You're my guy. Help, yeah, we get some endorsements in there. Yeah, I got some endorsements, some appearances, what have you. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, by the way.
No, I love you. You're a good man. So, Nike, right? Doing some work with Nike?
Yeah, that's the newest, the latest opportunity I have on the table at the moment.
Fill me in. Fill us in.
We in the process of, I have a second interview with them, actually, Mike,
okay.
Next week, where I'll be flying down to Portland. See, the thing right now, where we're going over where they're going to place me at, because I live in L.A.,
okay,
based in L.A., but, you know, when you work for Nike, you might have to be, you know, based out of Portland, so we're just trying to figure out that best move, and for me, and I'll be headed to Nike. That's a great job.
Yeah, incredible.
Opportunity for me to move up. You know, it's a career job. I was just in Syracuse last week. I spoke to Coach about it, and he basically said that he elaborated on the same thing I'm talking about right now. It's a career job. It's a great opportunity, and then he kept it. You know, he kept it Bayham. Don't fuck it up. So, excuse my language on it, but that's
suck it up.
That's,
yeah.
You know, and that's the truth. You know, like, I have to really, you know, I'm going into this job with the right head, the right mindset. The same way I will approach a game, you know, I want to win. I want to be the best, you know, that day and going forward.
You were like so many others from SU coming from Philly. Why do you think so many guys from where they were attracted to the Orange, despite Villanova and being right there, coming to Syracuse?
First and foremost, Michael Hopkins was a great recruiter.
That's right.
And gotta give him credit for that. And just, you know, Philly kids, we follow each other. Hakeem Warrick, I can say, was the guy who started it all for me and winning the national championship and not really being a top recruit coming out of high school. But, you know, like I said, Hop and Syracuse taking a chance on a kid like that, a 3-star, for him to come to Syracuse, and look how he blossomed. So just kids from Philly seeing that, and I saw that growing up. I watched Syracuse when they won the national championship in 2003. That was, you know, one of my favorite teams. And I wanted the same opportunity. And once you get up to Syracuse for a visit, you see the 30,000, you know, fans. It's like, oh, I'm going. It's over.
I'm going here. We're talking to Scoop Jardine. You know, after that first season you had to redshirt 2008-2009, What was the biggest thing you learned, I guess, during the season watching from the bench, and besides probably, like, I can't wait to get on the court, but what did you learn?
That was the biggest year of my life, Mike, believe it or not. I learned, first and foremost, patience.
Yeah.
Patience as a young player. A lot of us, you know, we don't have it. You know, you watch the game from a different perspective. So that year I set out, I got to watch a really great point guard in the name of Johnny Flynn. You know, like, from a coach's perspective, though, Hop did a great job of, you know, transforming the way I think, the way I was thinking at the time, to really, you know, look at it from a coach's perspective. And I learned so much by doing that, you know. And I became like an extra coach to Johnny as a point guard, and I learned the plays. I learned everything coach was looking for. Now I wasn't taking nothing personally. I was, my freshman year with coach, because now I got to understand where he was coming from when I set out. So when I got back, I had a whole different approach because I set out that year, and I got to see, you know, just what coach was looking for, what he wanted from the team, and what he was looking for out of his point guard, not what he was looking for out of Scoop Jardine. You know, Syracuse is a system. You have to play it to the best of your ability from defense and on offense. So that year I set out, I got to really understand the system. It put me a year in the class. It put me ahead in the classroom that year, where I was able to leave with 2 degrees. So everything about that that year I set out was perfect for me.
Wow.
It's the best thing for me, yeah.
That's interesting.
And I tell kids, you know, it's tough because you never went without playing basketball. You've never been hurt before.
Oh, yeah.
Toughest thing for me. So, honestly, my teammates did a great job of really sticking around me and helping me every day that I didn't play, making me feel a part of the team. So, even though I set out like I said, we lost to Blake Griffin and them in a tournament that year. And I felt a part of that team, even though I was in the stands, how much I practiced with them, how much I grind, how much I was a part of it. So, man, it was great. When I got back the next year, I had this whole new life, this new energy.
Talk about, you know, you mentioned, you bring up Blake here for a second. Do you realize how good he was then?
Oh, man. You see how good he is now?
Now, I know.
I watched him last night and was at a triple double against the Heat.
Right.
And speaking of that, I think, you know, one of my great friends and ex-teammates, Deion Waiters, who he's going through that right now. You see, he just got fined. He said something publicly in the paper about wanting more time, more, you know, minutes.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, I think that's, as a player, you know, is great. I know Deion, he's a great player. He's always been a great player. He's definitely got all-star potential. And you have to know the game. You have to really wait your turn and really understand what the coaches or what the organization is looking for out of you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think, again, once Deion figured that out, he's going to be an all-star, literally. Like, he got everything. He got all the tools. It's just more so learning how to play the game. So back to elaborate what I was saying about my sophomore year that I set out, I've learned how to play the game that year,
right,
off the court. And once you learn that, once you learn how to be, you know, correct in the media, you know, everything is really a political game. And then on the court, how you communicate with your teammates, it all goes together, and that helps you.
And think about it too, because then sophomore year, You were the sixth
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I got National Sixth Man of the Year. Yeah.
Named the best in the country by Sporting News.
Yeah. But that's, again, I was able to take a role, and that was pretty hard for me coming back, thinking I was going to start and coach. You know, I had to share minutes with Trish that year, who was a freshman. And by the way, I was a junior, Mike, in the classroom. I was a sophomore on the court, but I felt ready. I felt, you know, I deserved this spot, and I was ready, but like, everything ain't really given to you or handed to you. You know, Brandon, Trish, and I had to split those minutes, which was the best for the team all around. And at that time, I couldn't understand it, but, you know, you got two point guards, it's really good, and we're giving our best to a team. That's great. You know, and that's what we was that year. We didn't only have one point guard, we had two point guards that was really, you know, good. One game, Trish would be good, next game, I would be good. It was like a back and forth thing, but that made us an overall better team. Than only having it, like we went the year before, we only had one point guard with Johnny. So I feel like Coach was a genius with all of that. And at the time, I couldn't see it, but by me sitting out that year, I believed in Syracuse, and I believed in our family, which was bigger than myself, you know? And I think that year, that team was all about that, and I give a lot of credit to Andy Rollins, too, who was our sole leader.
So you go, and junior year, you get your shot. Now you're the guy. 12.5 points per game, about 6 assists per game. You step up a real good, obviously a great passer, pressure player, all that kind of stuff. Talk about, you know, that junior season.
Junior season was good. Coach finally, you know, that was when Coach was like, "Hey, here's your ball." I worked for it. I worked to get that spot. And that was the year I became a captain. I honestly, looking back on it, Mike, I kind of lack a little bit because I gained some success. And being young, not saying I didn't know how to handle it, but I gained success. I started to understand, you know, Syracuse. And I think this school, it's like a kryptonite to us as players at Syracuse, too. You get comfortable, you relax. And, you know, it kind of become easy. Everybody treats you great up there. You already know you're going to play 20 games. You're going to win 20 games a year.
Right.
So I start to, again, understand a little bit too much, and I didn't work as hard as I did my junior year. Even though, don't get me wrong, Mike, I averaged 12 points, averaged 6 assists, but I didn't come back my junior year, which was my senior year, prepared like I should have. And it was a lot because I knew too much. I knew it was the NBA lockout the year coming. You remember that? I knew too much. And I was always one of them players who, like I always say, I always studied, and I knew too much. And sometimes it's better not to know.
Well, you're a common sense guy. I mean, you're straight out.
So it's better not to know. Yeah. Sometimes, like,
ironically though, your best season was, you know, as a senior.
My junior year.
Yeah, had little.
My junior year, stat wise though. But again, I played 32 minutes that year.
Yeah.
And honestly, That was Deion freshman year. We lost to Marquette on a horrible backcourt call that still haunts me to this day. horrible backcourt. Like, honestly, you can't come out the next day and say, we got the call wrong. Well, no. Where's the game? Can we play the game tomorrow? Like, we got the call wrong. But, yeah, that was that year, which, you know, which is land bad in the Big East. I mean, the tournament, we had to play a Big East tournament team who knew us really well, being Marquette. And they beat us on that year and coming back. So that lockout year was 2011.
That's right.
And honestly, I knew. We all knew. So I had that fifth year. I had that insurance year, and I took it. And honestly, I feel like, Mike, that was my best year, my fifth year, because a lot of stuff I've really sacrificed so much. I went from playing 32 minutes to 21 minutes that year. And Coach, I remember him calling me in like, you know, will I be able to do that? And I was like, hell yeah, because if I had to play – type of team we had that year. We had Michael Carter Williams come in, who was, as you see, was really good. I seen him coming. I knew he was good. We had Deion coming back as a sophomore, who Scott. I felt like Deion was the best player on our team as a freshman. You know what I mean? So
most athletic, definitely. Yeah.
Talent wise, I'm just saying. So he was coming back for his sophomore year. I'm like, man, then you got myself and Trish had Chris become, you know, as a senior. I was a fifth year. Stad was a sophomore, lost about 20 pounds that season. It was like I seen a team. I was the coach really that year. I was the coach on the floor. So my fifth year to me was my best year because of the team we had and the position and the role I played. Honestly, I was really the quarterback of that team. And whenever I was off the floor, you can tell like my print was on that team that much because you look at all those guys that was there.
Yeah.
I even had them on a recruiting visit where I was there before them, you know?
You're so, also the guy too. Like I remember, you know, like in Madison Square Garden or certain games where like even you would change things up a little bit. So you'd be running elbow or whatever it was, but then all of a sudden you would post a guy like a smaller guard up or something. You'd back a guy down. Like you'd
start to understand the game. And again, it was coach. You know, the more I gain, you know, the respect of coach, I start to, you know, gain more confidence and do more. And that's the thing as a player, I used to respect this about Johnny so much and Deion a little bit too, but the confidence they had in themselves, you know, early on, like as freshmen, you
that's
know,
right.
or
yeah.
like Malachi had that again towards the end of the season. You see what I'm talking about? Like just that all your confidence as a freshman is really just to believe in yourself. And that's key. That's huge. And I think Coach really look at that a lot in freshman and
you
were players in general.
Totally agree. But another thing I was thinking about is you were also part of that last SU team to win the Big East regular season title going, 17-1, that 2011-12 season.
Yeah. 18-1. Yeah. Yeah, it was. That was a great year. Like I said, we ran through the Big East that season. We was outright really the best team. We lost to Notre Dame one, you know, because of Fab Melo being hurt.
That's right. And, that was just, holy cow.
I won two outrights. I won one in 2010 and one.
2000. That's right. Yeah, what about the whole Fab saga? I mean, that was just like, I mean, here's a guy that I don't know. I mean, did you ever try to dial him in? Like, come on, man, let's get focused here. You know, like what's
Fab?
Yeah.
His sophomore year, and believe it or not, he was super focused. I think that's why he was having a great year like that in the beginning. See, that's the hurt of what people don't understand. He was having an unbelievable year the first 15 games of the season.
That's right.
Right?
No, I remember.
We was 18-0. We was 18-0.
Yeah.
And that's the first semester. And if Fab had, you know, now you go look on NBA draft boards, he's number one.
Yeah.
I mean, he on the first round. He's from Brazil. He's a first-round pick. He looking like, man, I don't got to go to class. Like, just think about it. It's just, like, I'm done. Like, he know he's going to the NBA. He clocked out, I think, a little bit too early. If that makes any sense. And people, that's what happened. He clocked out.
Too early?
Like, instead of just waiting, like, you know, February, March, and he stopped in December. I mean,
you're like, Fab, man.
Fab clocked out in December, and it hurt us, but... Like being a kid from Brazil who really just didn't know, he was ignorant, not in a negative term. He just didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't understand the whole thing.
Yeah, didn't understand it, and that sucks because he was a great kid, one of my favorite teammates by far. literally, like a great person, great soul, man. God bless.
Oh yeah, awesome, awesome guy. Right now, so the whole Nike thing, the whole Q's thing, coming back, bouncing around. How you feeling overall with things, life, and all that?
Oh man, it's been awesome. Like I can't, man. My journey has been great.
Yeah,
you know, it's been really great. It's been something I couldn't plan it this way at all.
I could see you being an agent. I could see you working with, like, somehow working at a CAA or something. You know, Nike's incredible.
That's basically what this role at Nike will help me with.
Yeah.
I didn't want to limit myself and just work for one agency because, again, an agent is just a bad term in, like, today's society. Like, when you just hear the word agent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just think about it. So I didn't want to limit myself or put myself inside a box. So what I did was I always freelanced and just kept relationships with all the agents, learned from all the agents, and that's how I'm getting my position. You know, God bless, I get my position and with Nike, and I become a Nike rep because that's the agent. So the job I will have is I'll be with the EYBL high school side first, but the position I would love to get and move up to is being a Nike rep, a guy like, so say if Anthony Davis signed for the next Nike money, you know, right now, you know, it's between him and Greek Freak to get this next deal. You know,
gotcha.
You know, LeBron got a deal, so he has a Nike rep that's next to him.
Gotcha.
Then KD, Kevin Durant got a deal, Nike deal, signature shoe. He has a rep. That's whatever he needs from Nike. He will call you, Mike. Like how you are with Coach. Like you his guy. Like it's like that'd be, and that's the role. So it's basically like you are his agent. You know what I mean? In certain ways, and I get you.
I always say marketing manager, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, the same thing with that agent stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the same as agents. That's what these agents did. They just got real fancy with it, and they made all in-house shops, all in-house. You know. And again, I never wanted to limit myself. So what I've been doing is, I've just been throwing everything at the wall, Mike, and
seeing what sticks. Sick.
But staying with the game of basketball, what gave me my most. Know where I put my most time at, and if that's working on CVS or SNY, or you know, if I'm doing real estate, sports mobility, I'm staying around, and again, standing with the Syracuse alumni too. It's, oh man, that's been a great thing for me.
You're the good hustler, man. We're all hustlers, and you know, it's a good way of a hustler. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I stay with my family, and it helped me, and that's how I got to start my own little. My little movement called Life at the Sports is where I want to really help young athletes like myself who goes to these prestigious schools, you know, whether it's Duke, North Carolina, Arizona, Syracuse, you know, and where the alumni system is really great and huge. But that being said, you know, how you leverage yourself as a player, and here it is, I was at Syracuse for 5 years, so every year we had those Bayham banquets or you know,
stuff
coaches,
like that.
Coaches versus cancer banquets, and you know, a lot of players. I'm gonna tell you the mindset: you don't want to be here. You know, you like, oh, I'm here. I got to sign
all that. Do this,
but
man.
But me, I was looking at it like you got me sitting at the table with, you know, a lot of people. These are business owners, and
you're smart. Like very yeah, you're smart.
People. So I started talking to these people about what they did, and now, can I work for you in the summer to get an internship? And
yeah, you're like, a smart guy. I get it.
So stuff like that, you can leverage yourself instead of you know, thinking like, oh, it's just about the NBA. Hell no. You know, the planes that we get in is being donated by a few of our alumni. Yeah. You see the Mello Center?
All I know.
I just showed you how powerful our alumni system was when the Mello Center got
I opened that up with.
That was the first year.
Yeah,
we opened. Remember,
I opened that up with Mello. Yeah.
Exactly. Remember that year, and I got to see that day. Like, damn!
Look at this thing.
It was a guy, David Clinehead. I remember Melo put three. He put to get the court.
Yeah,
he
brought him
just
up there.
To get his name on the court. Yeah. He donated a lot of money. I'm like, shoot! Like, I need to know. I got to see what these people is doing.
Yeah,
like,
what are these guys?
Like, because if I'm going to be going to the NBA, I got to know where to put my money at. I got to understand this thing. So.
We got to bounce. I want to give you a huge round of applause. But I got to get you back on all the time. I actually got to get you hooked up here.
Thank you, please.
I got to get you doing some more stuff here. All right, I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Let's plan on talking after we get done here and figure how, you know, what else we can hook things up with, okay?
All right, love you, Mike.
All right, Scoop. Talk to you soon, man. Scoop Jardine, ladies and gentlemen, here on the program. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1.